You know, it is such a beautiful place to come down and speak to you today. As I look out the windows, I can see the leaves that are starting to change colors. And even if you're not paying attention, listen to me, and you do gaze out that window, you'll see a couple of those leaves that are starting to fall. The changes of the seasons. We have it in this area, and I was born in Alexandria, Virginia. I went to school in the Fairfax County school system. I know you're shocked I'm going to school, but Bob's heard an amen over on his way out. But I've been in this area my whole life, and I've always been impressed about the beauty of this area that many times I have taken for granted. Over this past week, I did a lot of traveling. Last Sunday afternoon, we had a wonderful viewing. I had a dear aunt that passed away a week ago Thursday. And on Sunday afternoon, we had the viewing, and so many family members, so many friends had come by and just to give their condolences to the family, but also to just share the many wonderful memories that they had of my dear Aunt Frances who passed. Then on Monday, we had the service up in Alexandria, and then we had the interment service at the cemetery, and we had a little longer service than usual because we had to travel 3 hours down to a place called Amherst, Virginia, next to Nelson County. All of you know Nelson County because it's the moonshine capital of Virginia. Most people in church know that. Sadly. We got comments already. And as we stood in that cemetery, it was one of the most beautiful days that I'd ever seen. I'd never seen the sky any bluer. So many people had gathered around from that area where she grew up at, where my father grew up at. And as we gathered around that gravesite, and I did something a little different than I would normally do in a funeral service. I said, you know, this morning we had a one-hour beautiful service. Terry met. We got to sing at the service. We got to share a bit. And I said, friends, family, I want you to do something for me. Those of you here that knew my aunt would have just marvelous things to say about her. So I told them right up front I was going to take very little time, but then I was going to encourage them, each one, to come by, to shake hands, to give hugs to the family, and just to share those personal things. To share the time together as a family. As a family. And thanks be to God, it was such a wonderful time. And there at the gravesite, we stayed there about a half hour. And there were hugs. There were many, many tears. But also there was laughter. And I believe that God in His wisdom had His will done that day. So this morning, I'm considering each and every one of you to be family. You're not many in numbers, but my goodness, you are strong in the spirit and the will and the strength of the Lord God Almighty. So today, I'm basically going to talk to you for just a few minutes. This is our last service here for the season, and what a thrill, what an opportunity it has been. And once again, I thank you for this privilege that we've had to come and to share with you. Back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, when I was young, going to those little classes they would have in the summertime, what were those things called? Somebody help me out. Vacation Bible School. That was another school I actually graduated from. Just want to toot my own horn this morning. We had certain verses that we were asked to focus on and try to memorize. In this verse that I'm going to share with you in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, that third verse was always referred to as God's phone number. God's phone number. In the first verse, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. Excuse me. While he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, verse 2, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, and to establish it, the Lord is his name. And in that very familiar verse that you know, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call upon me, call upon me. May Heavenly Father just add a special blessing unto the reading of his word today. God, open our minds and hearts. Just touch that one who needs that special item just from you, God. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen. 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 It gets towards the time of the year when I really start to reminisce and look back about what a good year God has given us. The challenges that he has seen us through. The times that he's been just so close to us this year, and we thank God for that. But I know you in your life, you have a separate set of challenges. This past week, after the funeral on Monday, I had the opportunity to go and stay with my parents. You continue to pray for them. My father will be 90 years old. And he and my mother are facing difficult physical challenges. And at certain times, as a son, it kind of hurts you when you see your father had been so strong. He was a roofer, worked for Virginia Roof, and nailed shingles on for almost 38 years. And to see him as he's somewhat bent over, and the challenges physically that he is facing, a man being so active and so strong. But then again, I am remembered, just as I look out the window today, a change in the seasons of life. How do we face these challenges, and how do we face these changes? And I am starting to share with folks about the situation that my parents are going through. And I am starting to receive advice from so many that have experienced the same thing, and I thank God for that. And then I kind of started thinking about this subject of advice and about how we learn things. About how when we're challenged, when we face a difficult situation, a new situation. Before I went down on Tuesday morning, I got up early and went down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I'd never been to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and I asked people, and they were going to start to share with me. People, when they heard I were going there, they'd come up to me and say, oh, when you're down there, you need to go see such and such. You need to see the Titanic. And I said, don't ruin it for me. Don't tell me that it sank. And you can see all these little items inside the display. You need to go over to Dollywood. And although I did not get a chance to meet her personally, you could see her footprint all over the place, the many things and the many jobs that she's created down in that territory. Go and eat over here at the Potter's House because the food is just marvelous. People will give you advice. In just about every aspect in life, people are willing to give you advice about it. Yesterday, I watched the Ryder Cup matches. I am a golfer. You may not be a golfer. As my father, he has certain description that he considers those foolish enough to take sticks out into the field around the cow pasture and beat a little ball around. But it's something that I enjoy. Sadly to say, the U.S. was down 4 points to Europe. And boy, I was listening on the radio yesterday as I was traveling up 81, and people were giving comment after comment after comment. They were giving advice. What the captain should have chose, who he shouldn't have chose, how they should have done this, how they should have done that better. In golf, there's a very unique item. There are teachers, professional teachers who give advice. PGA professionals are called, and they're wonderful, knowledgeable individuals. Then there are folks like me who are just amateurs, and they think that they can give you good advice, and they have all well-meaning intentions, but usually you'll find, and especially in the game of golf, if you ask somebody and ask you to help you with a swing, they'll pretty much tell you what's wrong with their own game and try to impart this knowledge to you. If you have the same problem, it may be helpful, it may not. We get advice from folks that sometimes is not that good. I got advice this morning as soon as I walked into the room. Somebody told me, the coffee is hot as heck. And in just a few moments, I learned then what hot as heck is. Because I had some of the coffee, but I'd received the advice beforehand. You couples, you know that you're always ready to receive advice, whether you desire to hear that advice or not. Becky, do not roll your eyes at Kevin. I am preaching to everyone this morning, including myself. What is proper advice? What is good advice? And what is the advice that I believe that we should look for in our walk with God? First of all, the scripture says, call to me, call unto me. You got to turn to God. You have to open his word, and you have to get into the word of God. That's where we read this scripture. It says in his word that if you will ask, if you will seek wisdom, wisdom, he will give you wisdom. I've heard so many people who the world considers to be such learned men. And I myself, in the bottom of my heart, I can never fully understand how individuals who are considered to be learned men and wise men never consider the condition of their own heart. Because it is only when you ask yourself that question, why am I here? What is my purpose to be upon this earth? And then you open that word and you start to read. As Jesus told the people, love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God. All your mind, all your heart, all your soul. And then, just as importantly, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Until we can understand the facts that God has given us within his word, it's pretty hard for me to believe that those men are that smart. I believe it begins with your study and look into the word of God. Then also, as it says in that first phrase, call upon him. I think we are led by God's word, and we are also led by his spirit. When I go, I will leave you a comforter. I will leave you God's spirit, his form that will come and indwell within you. The power. After that day of Pentecost, when God's Holy Spirit just fell, thousands. I was amazed this morning how pencils were given out to folks who were what now? Pencils were given to people who were a little off, right? That's the way I heard it over here. I was sitting here and said,
We're giving pencils to people who are a little bit off. And I'll tell you one thing. If you are sitting in this room, if you're listening to my voice, if you have your Bible open, if you're believing that the Lord God is your personal Savior, God's Word says that you're a little bit off. Because everything that we talk about, everything that we share, according to the world, is what? Foolishness. It is foolishness. But my goodness, how God uses through His Holy Spirit this foolishness to allow men and women to have that guaranteed eternal life through our belief in His Son, Jesus Christ, dying upon a cross, shedding of the blood for the remission of my sins and yours. You got to look into the Word. You have to allow His Holy Spirit to indwell in you and lead you, guide you, and direct you. And I think you have to have what I call others. You have to have brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to share your burden, just as you are expected to share their burdens. This past week in the LeConte Hall down in Pigeon Forge, as the National Quartet Convention was taking place, there were seats for 12,000. Every seat was filled. And then around the walls, it's a square building, and all the way around the walls at certain times, you just saw them lines. So I have no idea about how many people actually were in that building. I heard one of the great female singers, Connie Hopper, come out. And although that she had a wonderful song to sing, one that would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, would hopefully by their singing this song and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ would draw others to Him, she began with this. She says, "I first of all want to thank everyone in this room who has prayed for me." Wow. Wow. Folks, when we are gathered together in His name, two or three, when we are able to simply be of one mind, one spirit, one accord, when we have a burden and we are willing in our spirit, in our heart of hearts, to share one with another, God will move. You know, it's fitting today. We're just family here. That means that we're just talking. That means that some things I'll like, you'll go along with. You know, we're family, so there's some things about me you're just not going to like. Because that's the way families are. Maybe your family is different from my family. Maybe your family is perfect. Mine is not. But I believe that there are certain things that we will all agree upon. I believe that there are thank yous to be given to those who have helped set up and put the service in so that these services can happen on a Sunday morning. Those who come early, who set up the music, set up the altar, set up the pulpit. They give up their time because they simply want to be used in the kingdom for His glory. So they should be thanked. But even more importantly, you as individuals have a responsibility to share this wonderful news, this glorious happening within your life. The things that He has done for you, you need to share. And the struggles you're going through, also you need to share. When that young lady stood in front of everyone and thanked them for praying for her, I felt blessings upon over 12,000 people. And oh my goodness, how enjoyable it was to be in that atmosphere, to be in that sitting, to hear simplicity of a child of Christ saying, "Thank you for praying for me, for the challenges that she has gone through over the last 6 weeks with breast cancer." Boy, you could just feel it in the room. They started to sing a song, and the song was good. The notes were good. The sound system was okay. But the Spirit of God was there. Because of the Spirit of God, they didn't worry about each note. They didn't worry about that sound system. All they were concerned about is how they had felt that they had been a part of the kingdom of God. So when you come to a service, you are a part of the foundation building blocks of the kingdom of God. When you help set up, you are a part of the foundation of the building blocks of the kingdom of God. Advice. I know there are things that challenge you. I know there are things that sometimes you have a hard time dealing with. I go and visit my parents as often as possible, and somebody made a comment to me. He says, "Well, you're a good son, you do that." And I said, "No. I am a very fortunate son because I have the opportunity of my parents still being alive." And although the conversations are, well, let's just say my father, he repeats himself quite often. And I enjoy every time he repeats himself. But then I get to sit there and as a listening, I pick up the newspaper. I'm going to finish with this, Kevin, so you know you can come up here and swiftly kick me out. Was that an amen or you're clearing of the throat over? I was unsure about that. And as I pick up the newspaper, they have a Stanton newspaper there, and I'm always very encouraged by reading small town newspapers because they talk about things and who's visiting who and what's going on here and a little picnic over there and a little church supper over here and all these. But then I always go and turn towards the back section because there are people who are looking for advice. And in that paper, as they do with many papers across the United States and here even in our big metropolis of D.C., they have the people who want to turn to Dear Abby. But there is also just as big and just as bold a full section of advice given by the Billy Graham Ministries. And there's always a question that is written in. And the answer to that question comes, first of all, through a scripture that the writer of that article decides to share with the individual who is going through a challenge. And I just read that paper and I read those little clippings and I get excited about how many people will look and still a paper is willing to print the good news about the gospel, the answer to the real questions of life. What is our answer? Call upon me. Call upon me. I thank you for the time this morning, Kevin, if you'd like to come up and to share in prayer. And once again, I appreciate so very much the opportunity to share with you today. God bless you.